Welcome to this week's Dr. Stem Show. As you can hear, I'm not feeling well. It's been one of those times when the seasons change and the weather changes, so then you get to be under the weather, which I've been for a week now. I started feeling better, and I thought, you know what? Let me do a show on stress management, because I truly believe that for me to come, you know, under the weather this way for this long, you know, it's because I've been very, very stressed out and probably forgot to manage my stress. What I've also realized is I'm not the only one. There are a lot of people, it's getting to be the end of the year, and a lot of people forget to take care of themselves. So this week, we're going to be talking about stress management.
Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. For the Dr. Stem Show, we'll give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
It's almost like, you know how there's this quote that I heard at a doctor's office years ago, that life is like a roll of toilet paper. When it gets to the end, you know, when you're using toilet paper and it's getting to the end, it goes by so fast, and before you know it, it's like, oh, I gotta get a new roll of toilet paper. That's what's going on with the year. It's going on so fast, and it's just like rolling. Open my eyes and close my eyes and I go, whoa, what happened? How did we get into November already? But you know what? It's been a great week because, of course, I took the weekend just, took it easy. But what was interesting was I actually had more crisis phone calls going to crisis management. I am one of the professionals, mental health professionals, that get called in when there's disaster or crisis. So for an instance, like Las Vegas, I couldn't go that week. I could have gone to Las Vegas when they had that shooting, and we go in and be available for people to talk to. So this week I happened to go to two different companies, and it's no coincidence because those two different companies had two employees for, you know, each one, different companies, different situations where the employees passed away on the job. One had a heart attack and one just, you know, collapsed and passed away in their office. And that reminded me on how critical it is that people take care of themselves and understand what stress is all about. So I'm going to start off probably by talking about the stresses that are caused by national disasters. People in the Florida area are still dealing with the stress of the hurricanes, you know, that we had, because their homes were destroyed and, you know, some businesses were destroyed. So believe it or not, we still have people that are out of their homes, and we still have people that are still out of work because of that natural disaster, which was a hurricane and the waters and everything that rained and, came to Florida. We also have an influx in Florida of people from Puerto Rico that came in from Puerto Rico because they too were affected deeply, as you know, by the natural disaster of the hurricanes. So that means we actually have more people that are living on the streets in the Orlando, Florida area that I have noticed, because, they're coming in as well from Puerto Rico and other areas where they don't have housing, or they didn't have insurance to fix the housing, or they haven't received, you know, money from FEMA yet to fix those. So the stress everywhere. And there's what we call vicarious stress of hearing and seeing those people that are struggling and suffering. And like I said, when you see them on the streets or they come and talk to you about their problems, that they don't have a place, people also tend to get stressed out because of, you know, the stories that they heard. I'm going to tell you, I probably didn't even realize how many stories I was hearing after the disasters when I was working in the library, which I'm no longer working in the library now, but I was a library social worker for the last 6 months, and I sat in the library for people to come and talk to me so that I could give them community resources or community support or just emotional support whilst I was in the library. And it so happened that I was one of the go-to persons after the hurricane that people came to help them apply for FEMA, help them apply for food stamps for those that didn't have food, that lost their food. I was, you know, helping out with all those. So as a result, you know, some days I had to make up, you know, hours and work 10-hour days, 12-hour days. My body just gave in. By the time that I, you know, resigned from that job so that I could move on into private practice, where now I'm in private practice and I'm seeing people, individual counseling in my private practice, which is awesome because I've waited for this all year long. And that's a big stressor taken off. I know I have to build clientele, but you know what? That's more exciting than clocking in and clocking out if you're not used to it. Because for the past 20 years, I've been working for myself. And, you know, I had my own business in the Boston, Massachusetts area. So I didn't work for anybody else. And all of a sudden, my move to Florida forced me to be able to find a job so that I could at least just set up and, you know, provide a roof over my head. So it was exciting to finally get back to not clocking in and clocking out. I'm still responsible for making sure that I get to work on time, but at least I'm not clocking in and clocking out. Anyway, so we were talking about national disasters. You ever heard of PTSD? The way that people are dealing, you know, with the aftermath of the storms or the hurricanes is PTSD. They're actually struggling with post-trauma, because anything that changes your way of functioning, living mentally, physically, socially, is PTSD. So it's not just, after the war, because a lot of people used to come in and ask and they said, well, I thought PTSD was when, you know, you struggle with depression, anxiety after war, or you've been in, you know, in the service or something. But no, it's not. It's trauma, you know, when somebody is recovering from trauma or is still struggling with trauma, that's PTSD. So at this point, we actually have millions of people that are directly affected by disasters, you know, around the world. And the disasters usually will be the causes of what we call situational depression and anxiety, which for some people it ends up, as I say, as post-traumatic stress disorder, which is, you know, causes major depression at that point, depending on how long people have been struggling with that. The one thing I want to emphasize when we are talking about, you know, people that are struggling post-disasters, children. A lot of people forget to understand that, you know what, when we are watching TV and the adults are panicking about what's going on, the children are watching and listening and they get so, so scared. So one of the things that I think, you know, when we're talking about stress, you know, I'm not only going to be talking about adult stress. I also want to remind you about, you know, if you have children or adolescents or young ones in your family or that you know of, to also watch them, because right now the stresses and stress levels are very, very high all around for adults and children as well as adolescents. There's a very high rate of depression, anxiety, and trauma caused by the natural disasters. I don't want to, you know, forget too the shootings that are happening, you know, the one that happened in Vegas and the one that we just saw in Texas in a church. These are safe places that, you know, people go to Vegas for vacation. There were people that were celebrating birthdays and just, you know, anniversaries, and they're enjoying a concert. And then somebody comes and shoots, you know, people to kill people in such an environment. That is a you know, cause of a high, you know, stresses for a lot of people. And then the church, I don't get it. The church used to be a safe place and, you know, people to worship in. So I think within the last 2 years, this is the second one that this has happened where somebody has gone into a church and just, you know, killed people in a church. So let's not forget, you know, that most of these people that are causing these disasters have a mental, you know, underlying mental illness. Like the gentleman that killed people in the church, apparently he actually escaped from a mental health institution in 2012. And for the life of me, I'm not quite sure why he was let loose so that, you know, he could have access to weapons and then finally commit such a heinous crime, you know, when he was supposed to be taken care of in a mental institution and medicated or, you know, given treatment for mental health. I don't understand why he was roaming around. But those are some of those things that you question and wonder why, you know, such a thing happens, why we don't monitor those that are, you know, have a mental illness and, you know, watch for it. So the reason why I probably thought this week it would be good for us to talk about it is to remind each other how severe mental health illness is. It's actually something that people need to take serious consideration when you have somebody who has a mental health, you know, issue or problem or diagnosis, to make sure that, you know, they're not left around without, you know, supervision or monitoring or treatment, because this is what happens. This is what happens. We end up with people killing other people for no reason at all of theirs, but it's because they're not, you know, well, they're ill. And because of that illness and lack of treatment, we end up with, you know, disasters like the shootings that just happened. I'm not quite sure about the gentleman in Vegas, whether he had a mental illness or not, but I know definitely the one for Texas had a mental illness. So the other theme that I'm seeing, you know, that is consistent in causes of stress, the economy itself. It was interesting when I went to address the two organizations that had the employees that passed away on the job, that people will come and talk to me one-on-one about, you know, the effects of these deaths and, you know, what it evokes, you know, for them. And it's amazing how many of them came and said, you know what, it's one thing that I wasn't even sleeping, you know, right now I'm struggling to sleep because I have so many bills and I don't know how I'm going to pay them because my paycheck is not even enough. And yet I have a family to raise and I don't know what else to do, but I'm stressed out. So when you hear things like that, you can also tell that, you know, economically, a lot of people are struggling to make ends meet, which is a high, you know, which is causing high levels of stress as well, because, you know, people don't know what to do anymore. And then, you know, you talk to them about maybe, you know, they might have to find another job, or if they have a spouse who's not working, maybe to see if the spouse can even do a part-time job that will bring in, even if it's $100 a week or $200 a month, that's something that would at least help out on the family. But then, you know what, they have different handicaps, that maybe the spouses have handicaps and they're not able to work, and you know, they're not collecting money. It's just so much that is causing a lot of people, you know, stress out there. So the question is, how is your stress level? What is it that's stressing you out? Are there things that are happening in your life maybe that you just, you know, sweep under the rug and you think, well, you know what, this is not really bothering me. I'm not going to, you know, take some time to deal with this because it really doesn't bother me, when it really does. And it manifests itself in other ways where maybe you're irritable, maybe you're easy to anger, maybe you're not sleeping, maybe you're not eating well, maybe you're starting to have nightmares or scary thoughts and dreams. Those are changes that usually happens when you are stressed out. Maybe you're anxious and you now have anxiety that things have to be done and they have to be done like right now. And then when they're not, you're one of those people that probably will lash out with anger or frustration. That's, you know, a sign of stress, you know, and those are all signs of stress that you might want to take a look at and see where your life, you know, is at right now. I call it a temperature check, where you check your temperature and, you know, see how you're feeling and, you know, what it is that's going on, you know, with you. So, you know, sometimes I want to say a point and then I have to have a pause because I want to cough or something, and that's not, you know, something that I want to do on radio, but I just wanted to make sure that I take those pauses because my chest is really painful. But we're talking about stress today, and we're talking about stress management. And as I begin the show, I said one of the reasons why I'm doing it is because I know that, you know, my immune system broke down because I was just doing too much and I didn't slow down. So when we come back at the next segment, let me talk you know, a little bit more about some of the stress, you know, signs and symptoms that you might see if you're stressed out. Because the first segment, I was also talking about some of the disasters that have been happening, those shootings. If you're one person that watches the TV all the time and you're constantly reading newspapers subconsciously, sometimes that's not good for you if you don't take a pause to really put everything into perspective, because there's so much happening around the world that is stressful enough just to listen and read about.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
So let me be specific and talk a little bit more about, you know, the things that you might want to watch for when you're talking about stress or looking at, you know, whether your life is chaotic right now and you're stressed out. You know, let's say you're a parent, the kids won't stop screaming, your boss has been hounding you at work because you turned the report late, or you're not coming in on time, or you're leaving early, Maybe you owe IRS and they're now calling in and want to garnish your check, and you don't have, you know, the money to pay them, let alone to pay your own bills. And now here they are, they're after you to garnish your check. All these, you know, things that might be minute to someone else can be really heavy, heavy stresses for someone. Maybe you just got laid off, and you know what? As good as it might have been, you know, that you now have maybe some time to rest and relax, it's also scary because now you don't have money to pay the bills. Especially in this country, in the United States of America, it's all about bills. If you can't pay the bills, then, you know, that's enough stress, you know, to probably even cripple you. Because then everybody has to pay bills. Even though stress is a normal part of life, I think at this time of the year especially, you know, I don't know of anyone who will say, well, you know, it's part of the holiday stress and life stress are part of a normal life, because most of the stresses that are going on right now are serious enough for everybody to just say, you know what, this is nothing that I can minimize. It's really, really stressful. So for those of you that have families, it's very much, you know, sore that, especially with the holidays, that you will be stressed out. But something that you can manage, because once you know and understand that, you know what, maybe I'm doing a little bit too much, there's too much on my plate, then you certainly can take a step back and, you know, reduce some of those things that might be stressing you out. Everybody has different triggers. So when you're in a family as well, just monitor the triggers, the things that trigger stress in your spouse, trigger stress in your kids, and mostly the things that trigger stress in you, so that you can understand, you know, the things to avoid, or to help family members on the things that they can avoid if, you know, they're getting stressed out with the triggers that you'll have identified. Being unhappy in your job at all, I mean, if you're one person that says whenever you're waking up to go to work, the first thing on your mind is, oh, I can't believe I gotta do another 8 hours. Then that alone, even talking to yourself like that, is a stressor on its own. Because once you say that, that's how your whole shift or your whole day or evening, if you work overnight, is gonna be like. The way that you feel from the minute that you think about work. So be cognizant of that. Having a heavy workload or too much responsibility at work will also cause a lot of stress. Working for long hours, having probably, you know, poor management, or management that is, which I used to hate a lot when I used to have a manager, micromanagers that, you know, ask and tell you what to do a million times and not leave you alone. That could be very stressful. What else could be stressful? Working under, you know, dangerous conditions. Maybe your work is dangerous. You know, you have to be careful, or you're driving machinery, and it's just a dangerous, you know, work area that you have to pay attention to. That could be stressful if you're stressed out and then you go into such an environment, because then accidents are bound to happen. Not getting paid enough, as I was talking about in the first segment, that even if people are working and they have a job, a lot of people are saying, well, but the money is not enough, and I'm not getting enough to feed the family, or I'm not getting enough, you know, to meet all my bills. That could be very stressful as well. I remember meeting a young man at, you know, one company that I went to, and he was like a 21-year-old, and he says, well, to be honest with you, this incident just brings up a lot for me because I've been very stressed out the last week. And I said, what's going on? And he's like, well, I live with my girlfriend and we're both in our early 20s, so we're young. But we're very frustrated because, you know, she's not working. I'm the only one working because she's not able to find the job that she wants. And, you know, I can't afford all the bills because it's too much. But then at the same time, I don't want to push her, you know, to go to work because then I want her to find something that she wants. Boy, that was like a mouthful, and I'm thinking, wow, okay, that's admirable, young man, that you don't want to bother your woman and force her into working. But at the same time, if she knows what's good for her, she might as well want to help out and bring home at least $100 to help you out, because then when you're not stressed out about bills and you're not doing overtime and you're getting tired and exhausted and you're irritable, she must not like you either. And he says, yeah, she doesn't. I said, well, so I think, the first thing is for you to be comfortable to talking to her and asking her for help. The second thing is, have you thought about also taking a course, taking a training to be certified in something that will pay a little bit more money? Because, anything that will pay more than minimum wage, most of those require you to either attend a technical college or attend college, but you gotta be, trained and certified in something in order for you to get better pay, in this day and age. So even having a high school diploma will get you more money than a person that doesn't have a high school diploma. So that's some of that information that I share with people that I meet at the critical incidences that I go to. And it's interesting how somebody's, passing away will provide an opportunity for a licensed therapist like myself go into a business and be available through the employee assistance program to talk to the employees about what the alternatives are, how to manage their own stress, or how to cope with that incident that would have happened. So it was interesting, and I gave this young man my phone number and my email, because I know without a shadow of a doubt, because we spoke extensively about some of the options that he has to complete his high school diploma or even GED and go to college, because there were several things that he pointed out that he likes to do. So that will be a good thing to hear from him on what are some of those things that are doing. I share this story because by sharing this story, it's also giving you an option of what you can do if you're one of those people that's stressed out on the job, or stressed out because you're not getting paid much. You might want to, look at some options of being trained in some apprentice or, vocational school, that you can get something that is hands-on, that you can get trained in less than a year, and you don't have to stay in school for that long, and then you come out but with more training into something else, or even enhance the position that you have there. Because of stress, we are also seeing a high level of chronic illness or injuries, people getting into accidents because they're so stressed out, breaking things because they're so stressed out, making mistakes on the jobs and being fired from the job because they're making mistakes on the job. So all those consequences that I think for somebody that's going through stressful times like we have now, you do not want to take that risk of being so stressed out that you lose everything that you have, a job, business, and family, friends, because now you don't know how to control your emotions and you don't know how to control yourself, because you're going like an energizer battery. Energizer batteries, they just go, but we're human. You can't be an energizer battery. The trauma that's going on now, whether it's a trauma that's happening in your family or on TV that we're seeing, you do not want to, if you can, watch it over and over and over again once you get to hear the news and see it, because that's causing a lot of secondary stress for a lot of people watching these traumatic events that are going on now. So it's one of those things that you want to mind what you watch, and make sure that you're not glued to the TV. I have a TV. I don't even watch TV in my house, only because I have so much to do. But then I also do not want to be affected by the news that I watch or listen to, you know, all the time. So I probably will own up to it that I'm one of those naive people that, you know, I will briefly watch just to see what's going on and to get the news, but then I won't be glued to it and watch the news all the time, you know. That I learned a long time ago not to do that. What are the things that you can watch for? So here are the things that maybe will be indicators for you to know that you're stressed out and it's time for change, and it's time for you to take a look at, you know, what's around you, how you're dealing with life, how you're dealing with things. There are physical responses that you see when you're stressed out. There's a change in sleep patterns in your sleep. Some people say they sleep too much, and some people say they hardly sleep at all. So see if there's a change in your sleep pattern. That's one of the physical responses. There's a change in appetite. Some people say they are now eating a lot. Some people say they're eating less. But all I know is there will be a change in your appetite that is very visible and noticeable. So take note of that. Some people actually have shallow breathing, where they have a hard time breathing. And it's at times where they're thinking, why am I having a hard time breathing? When you have something like that, that you're even questioning yourself, then that probably is a reaction to, you know, your stressors that you're going on around you. Sometimes people have migraine headaches or just continuous headaches that are not explainable. Those headaches that, you know, no matter, even if you take a Tylenol or you take something, you still feel like something is knocking at the back of your head, or your head is just pounding. That could be, you know, an indicator. Muscle tension. Some people report having tense muscles when they're stressed out, or having their heartbeat increases. So instead of the normal beep, 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 then it goes, you know. So there are people that actually will report that, you know what, my heart feels like I'm racing or something. And then I have actually counseled people that have come to the office because they say they were feeling nausea, and literally some people throw up, you know, due to the reactions of their stresses. So see if you have any of those physical responses, you know, changing sleep pattern, appetite, dizziness, probably headaches, or muscle tension where your muscles are tense, or stomach upset. As I said, you know, your stomach will be upset. And sometimes just not having energy, just lack of energy, not wanting to get up, not wanting to sleep, and just maybe oversleeping as well. That could be, you know, a sign of concern for you that, you know, probably you're stressed out, and they're warning signs for your body to say, ding, ding, time to get checked. The emotional responses that, you know, you might also feel or see, especially with all these disasters that are going around, you probably will go through a lot of shock, you know, watching what's going on around the world. That might, you know, cause a lot of shock for you. I know I was shocked when I heard about Vegas and then seen this one here with the church. It's almost like, what? And all of a sudden, you know, life just stops for that minute, because now it's like, what? Where are we safe, and are we safe? So that might be one of those reactions as well for the stressors. A lot of people, you know, say when they're really extremely stressed out, they easily get angry. They easily get frustrated at their spouse and co-workers, but they just know that I'm going to snap before, you know, the day's over. So that's a sign, or what do we call it, trigger as well. Depression is very high. Anxiety is very high. where people are reporting feeling depressed, feeling sad, feeling hopelessness, and anxious, just not restless, being, you know, restless, crying, which is normal, you know, especially when you're seeing other people, you know, dying and being killed for no reason. Yes, you might be one of those people that gets emotional, but then it gets too emotional to a point where you have to monitor yourself and make sure that, you know what, this is not excessive, you know, beyond what I normally would react like, so that you can, you know, seek to talk to someone. And some people isolate themselves when they're stressed out, because then I have people that say it's time to reflect on what's going on. But, you know, whatever your reaction is, the way that you have changed, you can feel it, that, you know what, I'm not even myself because I'm so stressed out. I knew within the last week of me being at the library and I was preparing to get into the private practice, oh boy, it was very stressful for me. I had so much to do, as well as, you know, transition. So I know. And then there's also that fear that, okay, am I going to make it? Is it going to be? Because I'm starting the private practice from scratch. But once I realized that and knew that, okay, I know exactly what's stressing me out, I know exactly, you know, what's bothering me, it was much easier to be able to, you know, deal with that and to do what we call a stop think, you know, effect, where I literally stop myself from thinking about or talking about something that I know will send me down spiral with, you know, stress and anxiety. Okay, so as I was saying, some of the behavioral responses, you know, to stress or triggers to stress that you might see and say, maybe I need to get checked, is, you know, people that are stressed out usually sometimes withdraw from others. They don't want to hang around other people, or they get to be clingy. So it's different for each person. But I know they cry easily or get angry easily. As we say, they're just afraid that maybe whatever disaster is going on might come around us, or, you know, that things could get worse for me. So there are those irrational thoughts that can come through when you're stressed out that can just make things worse for you. So you want to be cognizant of that. What's going on in your life? List all the stresses that are stressing you out. List the ones that you can immediately address, that, you know, you're able to address day by day until, you know, you can manage your life back again. Because what happens is, if you cannot get to the place where you're calm, you're peaceful, you're managing your life to the best, you know, to your best ability, then when these stressors happen, I mean, when the disasters happen, the shootings and, you know, I mean, the economy and everything, they will hit hard on those people that are already stressed out more than the other people that probably have stress management, you know, under control. So that's the reason why you want to make sure that you manage your immediate family, individual stressors first. And then also make sure that, you know what, you take a look at how you're reacting to the natural disasters or the other disasters that are happening around you. I usually share the Serenity Prayer with people on, you know, dealing with stress. So let me bring that in this last segment that we're going into now, where we talk about how do you manage the stress? What are some of the things that you can do to manage stress, especially this vicarious stress that is coming up now because of things that are happening around us that are traumatic?
I'd like you to meet Dr. Andrea Pennington. She's an international speaker, best-selling author, and talk radio host of Liberate Your Authentic Self on America Out Loud. Andrea, when you meet someone who is not living the authentic life, what do you say to them?
There's no reason to settle for anything less than an out loud life, and you deserve it. No matter what you might have been told or programmed or brainwashed into, you deserve to have a fabulous, out loud, kick-ass life.
Well, listen, I look at you as a media guru. You've been on with a lot of the big shows. I want to ask you, how important is this platform, America Out Loud, to your overall mission?
The America Out Loud platform is allowing me to really spread my wings and stretch out and share my truth in a way that I cannot do on other big media networks. Here I get to be my authentic out loud self. And yes, I'm a little quirky, a little nerdy, and deeply spiritual. So this is a huge, huge gift to me and my brand, and I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, our goal is to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs. AmericaOutLoud.com. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on both Android or Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, I have to finish this show. I have to finish it with you guys. Anyway, we're talking about stress management today. And before, I took the pause, I was talking about how I share with people the Serenity Prayer. The reason why I like the Serenity Prayer is because when it comes to dealing with stress, when it comes to dealing with what's going on around us that we have no control over, it's always a reminder for you to be able to determine the things that you do not have control over and those things that you have control over, as well as, knowledge to know what to deal with and what not to deal with. So the full version is what I like of the Serenity Prayer. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as He did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next world. Amen. So you see, what it is God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. Courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference between those that I can control and those that I cannot control. So, let's talk about stress management tips. So that's one of them, the Serenity Prayer. I also, talk about the stress management tips on what it is that you can do. You want to care for yourself by eating well. Manage your diet. A lot of people, that's the first thing that will go. You don't have an appetite. You're not resting. So you need to rest when needed. Avoid drinking coffee, too much coffee. If you're a one cup person, avoid, drinking more than the one cup that you're used to. I know I found myself drinking 2-3 cups of coffee, and I knew that, this is not good. I had to take care of myself. Also, seek out comfortable, familiar surroundings and avoid spending too much time alone. Especially if you live alone, try to find friends around and try to talk to people on the phone so that you don't feel like you're alone. Try and share your thoughts and feelings with those who are supportive and helpful to you. That way you don't beat on yourself more, because a lot of times people don't want to tell the other people what's going on with them. But you can have one or two people that you can trust, and if not, then guess what, call a therapist, call a coach and be able to talk to somebody. There's always somebody out there that you can talk to, and all you got to do is ask. You also want to give yourself time to relax. A lot of people are work, and forget to take time for themselves, forget to take time to just sit, reflect, and relax. When was the last time that you had a spa massage, a spa treatment where you just treated yourself and it was just me time? When was the last time that you did that? I know for a lot of people, when trauma happens, that's the first thing that we think, like, oh, I haven't even done anything. I haven't even gone anywhere. So commit yourself today and say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do something that I love to do, because I'm not going to wait until I can schedule it or I can make it. So do something that you enjoy doing rather than putting it off and off and off. Then that stresses you out even more as well if you do it that way. Focus on those things that excite you. Do you have family? Do you have friends that you haven't even talked to in a while? And just call them and go hang out. I hung out this week actually with one of my really good friends, Sarah Chid from Boston. She came to Florida for a conference that she was presenting, and she called me. She's like, I'm an hour away from you. I don't know if that's too far for you to come. It wasn't too far. I rescheduled the couple, you know, appointments I had, and rescheduled them to today. And yesterday I drove an hour and went to see her. So that was a really good stress management for me, because the drive alone for an hour and just relaxing, and then had a wonderful meeting with Sarah. So Sarah, if you're listening to this show, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. It was great to see you, girlfriend. Remember that difficult sleeping, nightmares, flashbacks, and feelings of maybe being hyperactive are common, especially when you're going through, you know, some stressful times, or you've been watching TV with all these, you know, families now grieving for their loved ones and everything. You probably will be grieving right along with them if you watch it more than one time, more than two times, because then those images, those voices, those cries will take a while to, you know, quieten themselves within you. So you might want to avoid, you know, overexposing yourself to the news if you're one of those people that is probably starting to react and having, you know, effects of watching the news. It's hard sometimes when you're watching, you know, these news, to not put yourself or a family member in place of the ones that, you know, are in the tragedy. Most people say, oh, I'm a church goer, and, you know, how could this happen? What if I was in church, and what if, you know, it had happened in my church? And once you start that, you know, the effect is you get yourself more scared, for one, and you get yourself more depressed, for, you know, two, with something that you have no control over. I can imagine. I think, you know, the church attendance was very, very low for most churches, because then it was scary to go back to church, especially in Texas. You know, even though they got the guy, but it's still scary on how many other people that are not mentally stable that might think of going into a church. You want to avoid assuming and, you know, putting yourself into, oh, what if, because that's even more stressful, especially in these times. Communicate, as I said, with those people that you trust. And if you don't have, you know, anyone, write a journal. A lot of people are very skeptical of writing, journals. Write a journal. You can do, I do audio journaling. What I do is I have recording devices where I just record something and just say what's on my mind, what's, you know, stressing me, or what's going right. And a lot of times, in fact, I think I used to write a lot of what's stressing me. And then I realized that I don't want to have to think about and rewrite, you know, things that are traumatizing me, that are stressing me out. I want to turn them around and write what's going right. So most of the time I have to come up with at least 10 things or more a day of things that are going right in order for me to deal with my stresses. And in doing so, if I can't find them, then I know I have to turn things around of what I've been doing or what I've been thinking. You know, and in this instance, I knew that the library job was overwhelming for me. It was too much driving around, and I was just, and you know, I had a high caseload of case management work that I was doing. So I knew that it was time to change, and I put things in place and changed it. What is it that you have to change? What is it that you can do to make sure that you change, you know, your situation where you are now? If it's an illness that you're coping with and you're under treatment, maybe part of that is you now have to go and sit down with someone and talk to a therapist about, you know, how overwhelming it is to be able to go, to be going through an illness or a loss or, you know, some of the stresses that are stressing you out, even the bills, you know. Go sit down with someone and say, you know, this is what's stressing me out, these bills here. And in doing so, what you find is you have somebody else, you know, working with you and giving you different ideas on how you can better cope or better sort out, you know, those things that are stressing you out. So communicate, talk to someone, be open about it. If you're working and you have a full-time job, most likely you do have an EAP, Employee Assistance Program. If you don't know about it, then please go to your human resources and ask them about the program, because there's a number that they can give you that you can call to get 3 to 6 sessions. It depends on your company on what they're about, because most companies will have 3 sessions that are free for you to sit down with any licensed psychologist, psychiatrist, or therapist that you can talk to about what's going on with your life. So it's called EAP, Employee Assistance Program, that you can use to do that. The exciting thing about it is, you know what? Most of those EAPs now have programs where you can actually talk to a therapist over the phone or Skype, and you don't have to go, you know, in the office, which is awesome, I think. Because a lot of people are stressed out on the job, but then at the same time, they don't have time to be driving around and coming into our offices to sit down with us, which is the best thing. If you can do that, to take time out and literally drive and come into the office, it's very quiet and surreal, that it's more relaxing. But if you don't and you have EAP, you certainly can, you know, call and get phone numbers for therapists. I provide that service as well. I'm an EAP professional, but I do have, you know, ways, even if it's not through your EAP, that we can make arrangements to talk to you and see what's going on with you and how we can best help you come up with ways to deal with your stress. So if you want to get in touch with me, my email is drstem14@gmail.com, drstem14@gmail.com, or you can email me right here on America Out Loud, drstem@americaoutloud.com. Remember now, I'm always looking for guests, for people that we can talk about, you know, stresses or things that are happening in your life. I know there are a lot of reactions to what's going on around. So if you're one of those commentators, persons that like to, you know, do commentating on what's going on around, especially people that are in the mental health field, I want to know, you know, what tips and that you might have in addition to what I've discussed today for people to do and to cope with what's going on now, because there's a high rise of depression that's going around. So watch yourself, but watch family members as well. And if you have kids that are in college or children that are in the house, watch them and make sure that, you know, you talk about how to deal with the stress especially for your parent, you know, watch your own ways of dealing with the stress, because if they see you coping with it well, then you bet your children will, you know, also make sure that they follow suit and take care of themselves, because that's always something that I'm always reminding people to say, you know, do it first and then they watch you. Then when you talk to them about dealing with their own stresses, they'll be able to follow suit as well. So until next time, I'm glad I was able to finish this show with you guys. Next week, I hope that I'll be feeling better. So until then, as I always say, be encouraged and encouraging. And thank you for listening to the Dr. Stem Show.